Okay, so I'm very happy that we have a chance to continue with Rav Kook. This piece really broke my heart because this is a piece that made me feel really not too good in the beginning. And that is the following reason. This piece from Rav Kook is asking us a very straight-up question. Has our concept of freedom matured at all since last year? Not did we become more free since last year. I don't even know what that means. But did the concept of the way we understand the term chirut, did it mature? Did it get deeper at all? For some people, that's not even anything I even thought of. But if we're approaching Pesach again, it can't be that Pesach is supposed to be experienced the way it was last year. It's a question that we have in many different categories, in every Shabbos and every different holiday. Did the concepts of that which I've done in the past, did it mature at all? Or is my concept of freedom the same concept that it was last year? So that's made, you can understand why that really, it was a downer. Because we're learning from someone whose concept of freedom became deeper and deeper every day of his life. He was the most free individual I've ever heard of. Every word of his attests to it. But did our understanding of what it means to be free become mature, any more mature since last year? Is that question clear?
What it's really saying is, have you changed at all? Have you grown since last year? Right? It's not because this week.
Or in this realm.
But in this realm, in this concept, yes, but specifically here. Is it depressingly clear right now what I just said?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's now on that note, let's now go jump into.
Why was it depressing? Meaning, okay, your concepts are going to change. And you can ask this top. Was your perm any different this year than last year? Would you say it was a little deeper? Would you say you maybe had a little more ore and dos than you had the year before?
Purim, yes. That's definitely.
Right. Okay, good. Good. And I'm going to ask you a question again.
Yeah, yeah.
Year. And I can ask you on.
No, but now.
And now, when it comes to Kairos. So obviously, Feirus, like, yes, I have more das. I've been learning more. Purim was part of all this is part of it. And so every year I'm going to ask this question. I don't know that it should be like a depression.
It shouldn't.
We're only
you're right.
Exposed to more knowledge.
Right.
There's only more das. So hopefully there's going to be a net gain. The only thing is maybe like based on this new das is like, oh my gosh, how far I am from like. The way he understands freedom.
Maybe that's what I was. Maybe that's more what I was alluding to.
Don't come from the.
I think that there's such a ratzon to live the Torahs we learn all the time, and then when it comes to the teachings that you really, really have to break down barriers, and you really gotta dig deep, and you really gotta monitor and measure and see where you've gone and how you've grown, and then when you don't do that real dirty work like this stuff. Then anything else that's in contrast to that weighs heavy. It weighs heavy.
But isn't Kherut all about Kherut as a nation, as a people? That's what you're supposed to feel?
That's part of the reason why it's such a heavy thing, because we're in a week of elections, and it seems like, you know, if Kherut means democracy, then Hashem Yerachem on us.
But, you know, the fact of having your own country.
It's great. It's all cute and sweet. We're still dependent on American money and all the other things that don't really enable us to be the chirut that we're talking about over here. Not at all. Not even close.
When you were saying that in the down, were you saying about a national chirut or your own personal?
No, I was talking both. Avi's right. Meaning the chirut of the... It was a chirut of a nation, but we learned that it's always also the chirut of the prat as well. That's how the Chiddush Arim says very clearly. He says you want to be part of like... A chirut of a nation. If you're not the chirut of the prat, is not the avoda, you don't really contribute to the chirut of the klal. You all know this. That's no chiddush to anybody. You know that. You know that teaching. There's no Talmud. There's no. Sorry, I know you're on. I thought you're not.
I'm not a money by you.
Okay, thank you. I was just trying to squeeze out who you're going to vote for, right? Okay. החירות שאנו מתרשמים בה ביותר בליל התקדש חג של זמן חירותנו. This freedom that we מתרשמים בה ביותר, להתרשם usually means to be impressed. Here it means to be like transformed and moved by the holiness of the night of Leil Seder. בחג עבר חירות, בעת אשר גם בעצם ימי הגלות והשיעבוד, לא חדלנו מלהביע את התגעגותנו אליה, באומרנו השתא עבדי לשנה הבא בני חורין. Every year, no matter how long we were in exile, there was one night when freedom, people dared to dream to be free. There was one night where people dared to dream. No matter how deep the galus is, no matter how dark the days were, there was always one night. It's like this, there's something in this one night that enables a person to dare to dream big. He's saying, all the years in galus, we had this one night. So because that's something that happened every night for so many years, third line, he muchrachat liyot holechet umitpatachat bekirbeinu pnima madrega achar madrega. The longing for freedom must lehitpateach, must develop. When I was just saying in a different word, must mature. Gradually, level after level. Ad asher yavo hayom asher yanusu hatzlalim. Until the day comes where the tzlalim, the shades, will fade away. Yanusu hatzlalim. V'cheruteinu hamuchletet. And our absolute freedom. This is really fading and stuff. V'cheruteinu hamuchletet. Ta'ir aleinu be'ora hamale. Ke'etzem shamayim latoar. Where you won't wonder whether you are free or not. Do you know what I mean? It won't be a shaila. Like, that's why I hate to say it. It is a shaila, what you said, Avi. 1,000,000%. The concept of us here, are we mamash an am that has cherut or not?
Why? Because in the end of the day, it's one of the shots for God, right?
You're speaking, wow. I'm not speaking from there. I'm speaking from a different perspective. I'm speaking about what he said over here at the end. He's saying, we're looking at Yom Shekulo Cherut. Not, we're on our way. I'm not saying we're not on our way. But we're longing for the day where there won't be any shailas. It won't be a question. It's not like, is this Cherut or is this not Cherut? It is. You're a free person. You're a free nation. You're fully free. We're on our way. We're not there yet.
We are. It's not as a person, not an individual. It's as a whole.
Shuv
pam. No, but at least I'm sitting next to someone who was arrested for davening Gan Harabai.
Exactly. And by the way, he's not saying that means that you're really not free as an individual. It means
as a nation,
collectively, as individuals, if we were all exactly, then when you went to go pray in Har Hashem, you wouldn't be arrested by a Jew. You wouldn't be arrested by someone appointed by Jewish authority. Pashut. You kidding me? It was one of the greatest days of his life. Aval. How long ago was it?
A few years ago.
Yeah.
It was after which attack?
It was after an attack.
Was it after Mark?
Yeah.
It was after Mark, I think.
No.
No?
It was Chalamish.
Unfortunately, I have to ask you which one.
I know.
Right? Which one are you referring to?
For some reason, the name of the family is eluding me. And the terrorist is listening to the laughing. He's like, oh, that's I'm going to attack because they were having.
Oh, it was Shabbos. It was Friday night. Yeah. Right. You went into the Shalom Zaha, right?
Oh. El Ad. Yeah. Then his name was Elad, I think. That's right. Nachon. Okay. Anyway, the point here is that there is this potential every Seder night. There's a potential for because every single Seder night since forever, there's always been this dare to dream kind of energy in the world. It means that every single Seder night, the concept of what it means to dream, what are you dreaming about, has to mature, has to develop every single year. Like, if people dreamed that we would be where we are right now, right, so that was good for up until 1948 or up until 1967. If you're not dreaming anymore right now while you're sitting here, then the concept of Chirut, of Leil Seder, is not developing. The concept of Chirut is not developing by you. Aval lehitlamed anu tzrichim. We have to practice Ech lesagel lanu et oto aruach hagadol shel haChirut אשר זרח עלינו אומנם בתקופות המהירות שלנו. What do we need to do? לסגל. You know what that word means? To adapt. We have to adapt into us this tremendously beautiful spirit of freedom which has showered upon us, which has shone upon us in our light times, in times of beauty. ואשר יצא כברק נוצץ. It came out like a bolt of lightning. בהופעתה של הגאולה הראשונה, גאולת מצרים. Like the first time this bolt of lightning, of freedom, came out to the world, was the El Seder. אשר נגלה עלינו מלך המלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך הוא. God revealed himself to us. אני ולא מלאך, אני ולא שרף, אני ולא שוב, אני הוא ולא אחר. There was a level of אני. People were experiencing Hashem's utmost revelation, clarity. That happened that first Seder night. וקרבנו לעבודתו. שהיא חירותנו הגמורה. And what did he bring us close to? To that which makes us utmost free people, which is what? Serving the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what freedom is. והרים אותנו משפלותה של העבדות הנוכריה, אשר שב היא עבודתה. He took us from a place of serving, service for nothing. לשב. We were slaves and we became servants. So he took us from a place of being slaves. And the way the world understands freedom is that now you don't have to do anything. But we became free from slavery to nothing to become free to serve and be doers. That's our real chirut. You want to go up to Har Bayit and daven and do avodat halev. You don't want to go up to Har Bayit and say, hey, I could be here. No one can. That's not what it is. It's an order to do avodah. This phase, this first phase of freedom came out into the world Leil Seder, like a bolt of lightning, where there was an utmost revelation of Hashem saying, here I am, come and I'm bringing you close to what makes you real free people, which is to serve me. Okay, that's how Rav Kook explains how this beginning step of freedom came out into the world, Leil Seder. Now try giving that over to your children, Leil Seder. Like that's really what happened, Seder.
Hashem said, shalach to me,
that's pshat, right? But how do you explain to your child that freedom, a Jewish concept of freedom means now you're free to serve Hashem?
When they get older, some things.
Nachon? And well, I thought the key word was actually shav. Like avodah nichriya, shav hi avodatam. Shav means that work is lashav. It's not, remember how they broke us down mentally, is that they would work, blood, sweat, and tears all day, what we'd work on. What would they do with what we worked on?
But the parach.
Huh? The parach, the Midrashim explained the parach was, is that we would work on something all day long, and then after all the blood, sweat, and tears we put into something. It's like I kind of how I felt last night, but I got up, my wife hasn't slept in days. One of our daughters, unfortunately, isn't feeling well. So I got up, Baruch Hashem, every half hour it felt like mamish the whole night, and then just in order so that my wife wouldn't go in, and then right, but then at the last one at like 5:15, my wife went in because she sensed that I couldn't, and she was right that I couldn't figure out what was really bothering my daughter, right? So I went to bed. I was like, wow, this is what like avodah lashav means, like all those hours. And Hashem, please reveal to me that it wasn't for nothing, you know, that even though she did end up getting up, it wasn't for nothing, you know. כיצד אנחנו צריכים להבין את אותה החירות המיוחדה שלנו? How are we supposed to understand this very special and specific חירות that's only for us? וכיצד יהיה אפשר לנו להסתגל אליה במציאות החיים? And how do we adapt to this in the reality of our lives? And when is Rav Kook writing this? Be'erch? 100 years ago. ובייחוד, כיצד נתאים את מידת החירות הזאת למצעדי חיינו החדשים? How are we to adapt this midah of chirut to the new pulse of life that we're now entering? שברקי חירות לאומית, bolts of national freedom, מתחילים להאיר עלינו בזהרם. Right, this is the beginning of the yeshuv back then, and people are starting to build the land, rebuild the land again. It's just the beginning. בחסדי צור ישראל גואלים מעולם ברוך הוא. He's really, what is he nervous about? Very nervous about? That the concept of freedom will, that the Jewish people are now sensing, will have nothing to do to a Jewish concept of freedom.
Just nationalistic.
Exactly. Yeah. It's what terrified him. I mean, you see it in all his writings. People have such a misconception of Rav Kook. They think that he was the one that was just okay with everything. He was okay with, he just loved, he was okay with Chilul Shabbat. He was okay with, you should see a letter that I saw Rav Kook write to, I forget, to some mif'al or something, or some kibbutz about Chametz and Pesach. Begging them to not poison their souls by eating Chametz. Like, begging them in the name of Am Yisrael to not poison their souls, to not eat Chametz and Pesach. People think, oh, Rav Kook just loved, he just was accepting, he just accepted. Rav Kook understood the neshama, the nishmat ha'umah, more than anyone else ever did. So we see here what he's terrified of. He's like, we're coming back, there's symptoms of chayrut, of independence, national, whatever you want to call it. However, what doesn't it smell like though? Kervanu la'avodato type of chayrus. Okay. In order to answer this, we need to look into something. Ha'evdel we're in the fourth paragraph. Ha'evdel sheben ha'eved uben ha'chorin einenu rak hevdel ma'amadi. The difference between a slave and someone that's free is not just a difference of status. Ma shebemikre zehu meshuabad le'acher v'zehu bilti meshuabad. The one person is enslaved to someone else and the other isn't enslaved. It's much more than that. And we know this. Look what he says here. This you all know. Anu yicholim imtzo eved maskil sheruchu hu malei cherut. We can find somewhat of an enlightened slave that his spirit is one of freedom. Ulehefech ben chorin sheruchu hu ruach shel eved, which is most of us. You can find people that are free. No one, most of us don't have bosses. No one's sitting on top of our heads telling us do this, do that, don't do this, and yet we're free. But our spirit is one of slavery, because I'm a slave to freedom. I'm a slave to it, not in a good way.
What do you mean by that last sentence? I think I know what you mean.
What do you so give it over? What do you think? I could give you my experience, but I'd rather hear.
Paralyzed by the infinitude of options, and paralyzed also as enslaved to our impulses
and our expectations, and the world's expectations.
Whereas when there's no expectation, someone tells me, this is what you have to do, I might be enslaved to somebody, but that person provided for me a mizgeret and doesn't allow option, or the amount of options to cripple me.
Yes.
I think most of the world today but at least our population falls more into that category, because most of us don't have bosses. Everyone's a freelancer. It's like everyone's doing their own thing, which on the one hand, it could be beautiful. And on the other hand, it can be crippling. Like I told you guys, I had a good friend that was in the army for 3 years, was in the Air Force, and the 2 nights before he was ishtacher from the army, came to visit me. I was in the caravan, living in the caravans here, in Amiftar, and he said to me, and I knew that he was suffering so much while he was in the army, because he wanted to get out. He couldn't stand having to show up and having someone on top of him every day. And he said to me, listen, I'm freaking out. It's like, why? It's like, because in 2 days, no one's going to tell me what to do. And I said to him, are you kidding me? This is what you've been longing for 3 years. He's like, I know, but I never thought it would petrify me the way it's petrifying me now. What's his issue? What was his issue?
He had to start thinking for making choices on his own.
You have to, yeah.
You know
that Neil Young when he was younger, so he was in a band called... You know this band, Buffalo Springfield?
Yeah.
You've heard of them?
Heard of them.
Ever see them?
Ever.
Yeah. Anywho, the band their shows used to end almost systematically because of Neil Young's seizures. He used to have epileptic seizures that he would happen almost every single show. And that's when the show, they were like, oh, okay, this is happening. This is the last song, right? And it used to happen to him from all different types of things. One of the things that used to cause his seizures, he said he used to walk into supermarkets and see abundance and colors and different... It overwhelmed him so much, the option, the vast abundance of everything that he used to have in supermarkets all the time. So, Beseder, it's like an interesting detail about someone that's not really relevant to almost anything in our lives. However, You have to learn from everything. I think that this concept of the world of option really does. It isn't the concept of real freedom. That's not what we're talking about. Because it can really, really cripple us. Okay. Let's go further. Third line. Hacherut ha-tzivyonit. You know what tzivyon means? Character. The freedom of the real characteristic of freedom, hiyota haruach hanesa'a, is an elated spirit. Sheha adam vechen ha'am bichtolalo mitromem al yada. The spirit of freedom causes man and the whole nation lehit romem to ascend by it. Liyot ne'eman. These words are so precious. Liyot ne'eman leha'atzmiut ha'pnimit shelo. Are you loyal to the inner atzmiut pnimit, to the
independence?
Sorry, inner independence,
yeah.
Essentialness, right? Essential to the inner, to essentially what being free is all about. Are you loyal to it? Are you loyal to what being free is really all about? La'tchuna ha'nafshit shel tzelem Elokim asher bekirbo. We say like this, we are all created in tzelem Elokim. You know what's amazing? Other than using that line to prevent anti-Semitism, we don't really use that concept so much. He's saying the concept of being b'tzelem Elokim means that you're created in the image of God. Is there anything more free than God? Nothing, right? So Rav Kook says, how much are you loyal to something that you might know to be a truth, but it plays no role in your life? Being loyal to the real essential pnimius of being created with Tzelem Elokim is the most free concept in the world. Is this making it? I know this is big words and everything, but are we bringing it down okay? Does anyone have a perush on this? What it means to be loyal to their Tzelem Elokim?
One thing to know that something's true, another thing to live it.
What does it mean to be loyal to living the fact that I'm created in the Tzelem Elokim?
It means that's with your neshama. Like what he says about tshuva, like you go back, your neshama wants to be connected to Hashem.
Naturally, all the time. Right. That's right. So he's saying over here, when a person lives like that, that emet, and being aware of that emet, brings you up. It elevates you. ובתכונה כזאת אפשר לו להרגיש את חייו בתור חיים מגמתיים שהם שווים את ערכם. I know this is hard Hebrew, but we're going to get through it. With this type of, how do you say, תכונה?
Character.
Yeah, with this characteristic trait, with this quality, one can feel their lives as חיים מגמתיים. That means a trend of that are equal. It's erech, it's value. That we have an actual... We have some kind of concept of how valuable our opportunity is to be alive. Most of us, like we all know, how much percent of our brain does a human being use? There's all these studies all the time, huh?
7 to 10%.
7 to 10%, huh? I heard like 4, like, yeah, 4.
Once a year gave us some kind of crazy...
You get to 10, you're good.
You're doing give up. See, Rav Kook, I think, is saying is that freedom, the real concept of freedom, gives you access to a much larger percentage of what life has to offer you. And most of us are living on one of our lives, bichlal, on a much, much smaller percentage. We're using much, much smaller percentage of what life has to offer us. That's what I was talking yesterday. That's what I was referring to about this, like, this peace can really, can bury you alive.
Like Moshe Rabbeinu, would you say he used 95% of his brain?
Not a brain, I'm saying his chayrut.
Of his chayrut? Would you, or 100 even?
Lo kam b'Yisrael ki Moshe od. I think he probably more than anybody.
Yeah, but then right, again, but it says, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, Eved Hashem. So it's exact.
No, that's exactly that's it. That's why he was that high. Eved Hashem enables the percentage to go higher. Eved Lashav makes that percentage go down. Dafka Afuch. We're saying that to become an eved to Hashem enables the chayrus, what do you call it? The to keep on reaching up, yeah. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. He was fully alive. Who can you say, what kind of person, like what figure in your life would you say they are living, they are alive? They are people that are alive, mamish alive. Well, who comes to mind? Fully alive.
Spiritual people.
Yeah, but Tenes HaDugma, let's just put people, you know. Who's alive? Who do you know that's mamish living, that's mamish alive? My father, that's how I feel. My Abba, the music also gives this chayrus of like, it, whatever, that plays a big role. My father's a master musician, Mamashdin, but he's a master soul. Just, that's it, soul. So I think, who else do you know though that you could say they're alive? They're mamish alive. I have to tell you guys something. Some guy came up to me right after shul Friday night, a guy I never saw before. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. I have no idea who he is. He came up to me after davening, and he ripped me so hard while everyone was coming to say good Shabbos. I thought he was Eliyahu Navi because I had no idea who he was, and he came charging at me, like I've never seen this happen ever, especially in a shul format. And he ripped me over the interpretation of the Rashi about the stork. You weren't here about the chasida. He said, "Why is a chasida called a chasida?" So Rashi says, because it does chesed with its chavroteya, right? So you would think, if that's why it's called a chasida, that it does chesed with its friends, why in the world is it treif? So what did we say?
It's only concerned
about its friends, and it's willing to lidros anything that gets in the way of what their own posse needs. Okay? Now, all the svarim explain this. I brought it based on a story about the Satma Rebbe, giving counsel to people that...
therein lies the problem.
Huh?
I wonder if that person had problems with the...
Could be. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea.
What was the line on the explanation?
Honestly, in the beginning, I just saw that this person was...
Probably.
I don't think... He was fuming at me about... And I couldn't understand. It was like you... Who gave you the liberty to darshan Rashi?
Oh, meaning it's a joke.
Who gave you the liberty to darshan Rashi like this, right? Uh-huh. Well, I have a purpose why I'm telling you this story. This, it has to do with this. So I see that, and meanwhile, the line is everyone saying good Shabbos, and I'm thinking, this is absurd. It was such a heavy week, and on Friday we were dealing with such a crisis in the community, and I'm thinking, like, I can't believe this. I just can't believe this. So while he's plunging away, one of the kids in the community comes up to me, he said, "Oh, Rav Shlomo, we learned that same exact pshat this morning in school this week." Really? And the guy standing there, he's like, "You didn't know that other people learned this, right? You just camped it on your own." And like he was like trying to really grill me. And then I said to him, "You know what I really care about much more than this conversation is why on earth this mamish bothers you so much." He's like, yeah, I knew you'd say that. And he walked out. I have no idea. I tried to get his name. I have no idea. I'm Amish. I have no idea who he is. Right? So that night, I'm at the table. And I'm thinking of the Bina, like, this was Mamish Eliyahu Navi coming to see if, like, you could still love Mamish. That's what I felt. So I was working myself so much.
Well, to see whether you could still love this guy.
Of course.
Okay. At least he wasn't sleeping.
Of course.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
The guy shows up for shul next morning. I'm like, oh boy, he's not Eliyahu Navi. He's back, right? And then...
That's why Jerusalem spoke.
What do you mean? No. I asked him before. Then, so he comes and he gets an Aliyah. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then the second after the Aliyah's over, he starts to comment to the Baal Kori about his wrong laning. Mamish right away. So I realized, okay, so the Ishpa Mashu, right? And I'm saying to myself, this can't be, the Torah is supposed to make you a different type of midah, right? Something else, right? And I'm walking around Shabbos like so distraught from this. I get an email yesterday through my webpage. It's this guy. He's like, I came home to where I was staying. I have no idea who he is. I have no idea who the guy is, right? I don't know who he was staying by. No one knew who he was here. He says, I came home and you, somehow this new song you just put out, Waken in Our Hearts, Holy Songs, showed up on a playlist of mine. And I've never like had an experience of this before in my life. And you completely mekadeshed my Motzei Shabbos. And I thank you so much for it. And I looked into the Chidush Arim, and he actually says exactly what you said from the Amud on Friday night.
There was a stork and not a stalker?
Chayr, the Torah, Ruchnius, Kedusha, has to bring about us that if something bothers us, we are free, that our emotions don't dictate to us how to react, how to be angry. But if it's not plugged in with Kedusha, there's no way, Rav Kook says, that your freedom can be aligned with the concept of godly freedom. There's no way. Tzadim Elokim. It was honestly one of the most crazy experiences I had. When I got, I didn't even tell Bina yet. When I got this email yesterday, it was just a, wow, this is meshuga. This is crazy. This is crazy. Now you're all trying to figure out, those of you that were in shul, who this cat was, right?
No, we know who he is.
No, I actually can't wait to see him and tell him, thank you so much for teaching me what it means to become a Ben Chorin. Because from a place of such anger, to be able to then portray love, you need to be someone that's mamish working on yourself. He showed me. This guy, Imam, showed me. This is what it means to be loyal to the etzem pnimius of what you're capable of inside of you. This is what Rav Kook is speaking about. Okay, we're in the middle of this paragraph. We're gonna finish it up. Masha'en kein bebal haruach shel ha'avdut. The spirit of someone who's just in slavery. The context of his life and the feeling of what it means to be alive, they are not me'urim, they're not involved, they're not mixed. It doesn't play any role in his life. The only thing that a person that is living slavery, what he values to be alive or not alive, is only dependent on someone else's opinions and concepts of what it means to be alive. Now, we just basically stated the whole world of fashion. People dress in accordance to what other people think is lively, quite often. Then you have some cool cats that never care about those things. They don't live. That's not the walk. They don't walk that walk. That's not the talk they talk. Their experience in this world has nothing to do with someone else's opinions about what's in and what's not. They are ne'eman. They are loyal to their inner pulse of what it means to be free and to be alive. We're not saying it in a derogatory way, that they don't care about anybody and they wear whatever they want, they dress whatever. No. It's just that someone else's opinion about what's in and what's not will not dictate to them how they should live their lives. You, Baruch Hashem, you're pretty good with that. You are. Va'anachnu kvushei agalut. We are. Galus has played such a, exile has played such a role in us. Shekokach rabbe meod bashanim. Hayinu meshu'abadim bidei adonim kashim. For thousands of years we were enslaved by very harsh slave masters. If it wasn't for the inner dimensions of our soul, hasfuga, that's sponged with ruach of chayrus, there's no way we could have made it. That's what we spoke about last time. The fact that we still existed as a people is only because when we left Egypt and we became free, right after we became free, Hashem gave us the Torah and says, now that you have this, no one can ever, ever, ever make you into a slave again if you just connect to what I've given you right now, which is the Torah, because this makes your neshama alive. Serving me always makes you a free person. Remember what happened with the Friedrich Rebbe in jail? With this Russian where this Russian Tsar was waving his gun at him, and the Friedrich Rebbe looked at him and he said, "You think I'm afraid of you? You think I'm afraid of you? You're one man of gun, you only have one world. I have no gun, but I have two worlds." He took him completely out of his, and the guy was so freaked out, he put his gun away. That's who we are.
A slave has absolutely no ability to make any choices for themselves. But even if you're enslaved physically by somebody else, but you choose to serve Hashem, you're taking some of that power of enslavement away.
Yes.
You're owning the choice that you're making.
Nachon.
Or the Rebbe that was in the gurney of the ship, you know, where all the poor are, and he was sleeping there, and some drunk Cossack came and started peeing on him. You know the story, and the Rebbe opens his eyes, looks, and he has like compassion in his eyes as he's looking at this drunk Cossack that's peeing on him. He's not like reactive or furious or angry, but he was chirut enough to have compassion in that situation.
I never heard of that story, but I'm telling you for real, I witnessed what you just said in Nachlaot, one Purim right outside of Shalom Brod's house, where some holy yid that got drunk and crashed on this. He woke up and someone was doing that to him, and he looked at him and he said, "Brother, do what you gotta do." Mamish.
Wow.
Everybody talking about freedom, I always imagine William Wallace in Braveheart.
Okay, so again, we're so into Gullah, so many years we were enslaved by harsh slave masters. If it wasn't for the depths of our neshama, hasfuga ruach shel chirut, that sponged with the spirit of freedom, with the freedom of spirit also, ruach shel hakarat mit pnimit, it's a spirit of really knowing who I am and what's inside of me. Charut al haluchot, al tikri charut el achirut. Remember that midrash that speaks about the words were charut, they were engraved in the stone. The Chazal say, don't say they're engraved, they say that it's charut, it gives you charut, it gives you freedom. Lule zot ha-matana nifla'a shelanu shenitna lanu me'az, if it wasn't for that tremendous gift that was given to us back then, be'etzeitenu lechirut olam miyad paro melech Mitzrayim, as we left chirut olam, meaning that we'll forever be free if we only tap in to what was given to us. Lule zot hayta galut yechola le'apech ruchenu bekirbenu, the ruach shel avadim. We could have been real slaves in our inner core if it wasn't for what we received as we became free people initially. By the way, we say these words every single night. What words? That you took us out of slavery for chirut olam. Eternal freedom. Where do we say this? We say it every single night in Ma'ariv. Every single night we go back to this and say, once you took us out of Egypt, you gave us the opportunity to have chirut olam, eternal freedom forever. How? If I remember how you took me out the first time and what you gave me, I can always be free. I can always be free. Always. It's something that's so in me. I can always be free. Aval hinenu mavginin bezeh, we're in the bottom paragraph. Aval hinenu mavginin bezeh berochav lev, we're exemplifying this with the wideness of the heart. Bechag zman chirutenu, in Pesach, the holiday of freedom, ki be'emet hinenu chashim et atzmenu bnei chorin be'etzem mahuteinu. We again on Pesach realize we're free not just because God took us out of Egypt, but because that's who we really, really are. V'asheifa ha'ne'etzelet shelanu elatov. Sheifa ne'etzelet. The noble aspiration towards good, ve'el hanisgav, towards the elated. He etzlenu ha-sheifa ha-atzmit shelanu. That's what we really want. That's what we aspire. Sha'anu chashim beruchenu pnima. That we sense in our spirit inside. Mahu atov u'mahu ana'ala. What is good? What is exalted? That's what he says happens to us Seder night. That it's not just that I go through motions. It's that I stop and say, why did this even happen? Why am I even sitting here? What did God tell me by giving me this night? That no one has dominion over you, just the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you just choose it. ולאור החירות הזה, in light of this freedom, החירות הפנימית, ההולכת ומתגלה בקרבנו כעת, במצעדי תחייתנו הלאומית. And he says over here, in light of this kind of חירות, which is beginning to be revealed in our midst as our national uprising, is not uprising, our resurrection, our national resurrection is taking place. על כל פנים בשיעורים מוגבלים לפי הערך של תוכני הגאולה מתגלים לנו. He's saying, we're beginning again as a nation to have symptoms of this type of chirut. It's still limited. It's not yet full on. He's telling like, the chaver, don't get too excited. We're not there yet. It's tipah, like he quotes, kima kima. Just a drop and a drop, nataf achar nataf, drop after drop. It's only le'ora ha'pnimi shel achirut ha'atzmit hazot. It's only in light of the inner light of real chirus, what we've been talking about over here right now. Only like this, nisa v'nelech le'avlit yoter v'yoter et etzma'utenu hara'anana ha'pnimit. It's only by this that real freedom can stem from us and be muvlat. Muvlat means like pointed out. What's a better word for muvlat? Like bolet. Spotlight. Like a...
Project.
Projected out. Thank you. Ota shekaninu al yedei... Shekinyano al yedei gilui shechina. Ota acherut shekinyano al yedei hapele agadol yachid baolam. Shenasa imanu ba'et asher galanu Hashem itbarach. Ve'gaal et avotenu mitzrayim lecherut olam. What is Rav Kook saying over here? In a nutshell, what is he saying happens Seder night? Like literally, what is he telling us Seder night's all about? It's a chance for what? It's a chance to remember what happened. That's true, you tell a story. But it's a chance to also do something. What do you think Rav Kook is saying is the chance for Seder night that happens to you on Seder night? What's available to you, according to Rav Kook, on Seder night, based on this piece? Just about everything. I would say it was starting off with actually being alive.
Well, recognize you're not a slave to anything. You were chosen, and you choose at every moment that you choose to make that choice. You're just an Eved to Hashem.
Every moment you choose to be an Eved to Hashem
totally free.
Makes you free. So then you have 7 weeks to figure out that decision. Right? Then you have 7 weeks to actually contemplate and understand what you chose Seder night. That's really what fear is. To count down towards that day of, oh, this is what makes me really free. I chose freedom, but I'm now marching towards that which makes me really, really free. And it starts Seder night. So I would suggest that whatever it is that you need to do at your Seder table, or if you're at someone else's Seder, choose one more than just sitting like this in Hasaba. Unless like you really, really feel like that brings you to this place. But that's still, when we sit lean back, it's still because we're dictated by the Haggadah to do that. It doesn't really come from a place of inside showing, you know, the place of freedom from anything else, just to Hashem. Choose one thing that would change your experience of your Seder in light of this type of Chirut.
The experience of the Seder itself, not as something you're taking on yourself for the future, but just... The Seder itself.
Don't worry about the future. But Seder itself. One year I'm going to make it over to your place Seder night. I heard about it. Where do you? What's your Seder table look like? Or Seder floor?
Yeah, we always sit on the floor.
Whatever it is you have to do. I'm not saying you don't have to do it. Again, it doesn't have to be what anyone else does. But there's got to be something that connects you to say over here to this thing of like, who I really am, using more of my battery. I'm working on such a small percentage. I want to work on more. I want to use more. And Bezrat Hashem, like that, Seder night, this year will be the another really strong beginning for feeling eternally free to be an Eved Hashem forever.
I have a problem with that. With those two words together, Eved Hashem. It contradicts the meaning of Pehut, of being free. How can you be slave and be free? It doesn't make any sense. Like, you come from Avodut v'chirut, you come from being a slave to being free. So how can you say being a slave is being free?
There's a big difference between being a slave and being a servant.
A servant means the same thing.
No.
You're serving somebody.
Not at all.
It's my greatest pleasure to serve my
Not at all.
You can quit. You can quit. You're a servant, but you can quit. You're not a slave. Is someone we can say, okay, I'm out.
Slave has no ability to choose.
This is
no
Evan. The word Evan.
The way that we understand Avodat Hashem isn't slavery to Hashem. The way we understand Avodat Mitzrayim is slaves to Egypt. But this is where English actually helps us. The big difference between slave and servant is the whole difference. It's choice and
You're
not choice.
That Evan Hashem is servant, not slave.
We're a servant.
And also,
of course.
A servant is our higher self. It's like a servant to your... It's like saying all the things you've taken upon yourself that you wish you could do to live your highest self. I'm going to be a servant to that and not my base impulses that are running the rest of the world and myself. It's not... an external force, Hashem is within us. I don't know.
but there's a world of a difference between being a servant and being a slave. Betach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't last. I mean,
I didn't think about it.
Right? No, but it's okay. Look. Most of Yiddishkeit, unfortunately, in the world of chinuch, is that we've given over to children the concept of avodat Hashem, and the smell of it is slavery. That's why we're really doing good with keeping kids from. I'm saying that sarcastically.
Okay.
Because the people they're learning from Avodat Hashem, for them, it's also slavery. They just haven't developed the concept of what it means to go from slavery to servitude.
Okay. By the way, you were right about what you said before. It's not Hanukkah.
No, but I was a mistaken.